You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to Bison Report Radio, live in studio, in a manner of speaking, because of course this is a podcast, but right here in person is Blake the intern. Blake, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm a little disappointed, as most people are, in last week, but you know, NDSU doesn't do moral victories as everyone around the program
talks
about.
But it felt like one.
It did feel like one.
It felt like one,
We even said after the game, like, you might have to just kind of include something in that, because it kind of was. I mean, it came down to 5 yards.
Yep. No, it did. It did. Blake in here. We're going to be fluid. Hopefully we get Zach back. Want to direct you guys all to the second table. Zach, I'm not sure if that's going to be consistent with Quinn. Of course, Quinn and Zach of Benchwarmers fame, but he's got a sweet studio now set up at the Big Deck Barbecue headquarters. We wish them absolutely nothing but the best. Certainly want them him back on BRR. We'll certainly have more Trevor Gebhardt. But you got some radio chops. The guys at Bison 1660 bothering Blake the intern all summers. I loved that.
Yeah, Sam and Andy keep bringing me back on, giving me lots of good questions all summer. I mean, I'm still thinking about a lot of them. But and shout out to Zach and Quinn. I listened to that last week and I got some giggles out of me throughout the day. It's fun to listen to all this stuff. Bison football is exciting, and I think that's even more true just in the last, what is it now, 9 months since Tim was hired. Not that it wasn't when Entz was here, but some new juice for sure, and I think that's carrying over.
No, absolutely. Speaking of Sam and Andy bringing somebody back, I'm back. Folks are not aware of that, if folks are more on the podcast side, the Bison Report show is back on Bison 1660. I start every day bright and early, 6 hours before kickoff, kicking off North Dakota State football's coverage on the airwaves, the radio airwaves. Sometimes I'll be pre-recording. Sometimes I will be live in studio. I found out I cannot, and I never did, but I cannot record from the bus. We can't get into like the parking. Like, I can't park. We can't really access the Bison Corral area, if you will, 6 hours prior. So if I'm live, I'm in studio, which is fine. It's totally fine. It's honestly a shorter drive for me. It's a shorter drive for me, especially if it's a road game and I'm just going back to watch it on TV anyway. But I'm very excited. 1 hour show now instead of two. I love the 2 hour show, but I gotta tell you too, I'm excited about the 1 hour format, where I just, like, this week it's gonna be James Hendricks and Spencer Wilker.
Awesome.
And two guests. Like, I'm gonna give my breakdown. I'm guessing it's gonna be three segments. I'll give my breakdown. We got to, of course, leave room to pay the bills, baby. Got to let them get those ads in. I'll give my breakdown. We'll talk to Spence. We'll talk to James. We'll get out. So it's going to be like, boom. It'll be pretty similar to this, because, you know, you figure these shows generally between 35 and 45 minutes. 1 hour radio program, I'm trying to probably do 43, 44 minutes to leave 16 minutes of ads, something in that, you know, realm. Like I said, got to keep the lights on. Got to get me paid. So that's what will be going on there. Very similar vibes to Bison Report Radio, and something I'm super comfortable with. So very excited to be back on the Bison 1660 airwaves. Speaking of other news though, the Fargo Forum reporting that North Dakota State has decided to, I don't know if this is one or two games, but has decided to roll over unclaimed winnings, or basically unclaimed funds from last year's 50-50 raffle, meaning that Tennessee State's game at NDSU when they start handing out the 50-50 raffle tickets, the grand prize will be $92,000, meaning I don't know if the 50-50 has ever hit six figures. I can't remember a time off the top of my head. Gonna happen. Gonna happen on Saturday.
That's insane.
Yeah, if you were thinking about, you know, if you're thinking about the going to the game or maybe not going to the game, you might be able to think about some early retirement or at least a new investment strategy. I mean, I know I could use, you know, 120, 130 grand. I've got places where that can go. So I got to tell you, one more reason to go check out the new Pulsicare and to some, you know, the new team walk, yep. The new introduction, all different new fun things. They're trying to adapt. They're trying to drive people back into the building. They're trying, which is what we've sort of been asking for them to do, and I think it's kind of getting done.
They are trying, and he mentioned that yesterday at his presser when talking about that, collaborating with Larson and Phelps and Derek Lang about different things and experiences he had at Iowa and maybe a little bit of Wyoming. I'm not sure if he referenced that at all, but like he even said, and I'm like, okay, I'm not a big fan of the helmet when they run out. I'm like, okay, here's a couple other things. We want to get the fans involved, want them to be able to hug their parents before the games. And that's a bit, I mean, if you've ever heard Tim talk, you know that's a big deal to him.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff I think will be really good. And I don't want to say new is always better, you know, How I Met Your Mother reference here, but yeah. But I think for a little bit it will be.
Yeah, I think fresh. Willis will be, I don't know if distraught is the right word. Willis was ready to move on from Thunderstruck. It sounds like,
oh, come not, on.
It sounds like we're not able to do that. I don't even know where I stand on that one. I'd have to know what song you wanted to move on to. You know, my dream has always been, I tell you what, if I win that 50-50, there's going to be a game where AC/DC actually plays them out. I will use part of that money to do that. I think that was always my dream, was to do that as a surprise, like have some donor pay whatever, 20 grand or whatever it would cost to get AC/DC to come play one song. Like how much fun would it have been to raise a banner and nobody even knows that it's going on. And all of a sudden, instead of the loudspeakers, like it's just actually AC/DC playing the song.
It would be bananas.
Oh yeah, for sure. NDSU's loss at Colorado, the most viewed Bison game of all time. It was on the mothership, it was on ESPN. Nearly 5 million consistent viewers. And I just wanted to let people know that your familiar Bison Report programming will return after Tennessee State. You've been at the new house. I'm in the middle of a move. The Thursday of it all, just, it was messy. We should get back in a normal rhythm. Inside the Numbers will return. The film review will return. It will all return. We've been running crazy, crazy specials on Bison Report VIP status. I think we've got maybe one more coming up. Not quite where it's been, but I think that might be Packer Report too. I can't ever keep them all straight, but there's going to be a good reason to be a Bison Report VIP. Coming real soon. We just wanted to make that programming note, if you will. Okay, one show this week, not two. So let's dive into a quick Colorado recap. I think the one thing, and you saw the Valley recognize him as the player of the week. I think a lot of, like, maybe even FCS Fans Nation, player of the week, whatever, doesn't matter. But Cam Miller played his ass off, and I think everybody could see that.
He was unreal. I was not, I'm going to be the first to say, I've watched the kid since I was, 16 for 4 years. I mean, he's old, so he's played a lot of games. That might have been the best game he has ever played.
Yeah, there's a couple last year that were really, really high level.
There were.
But you can see that he just is a complete and total master. I think he's, and I think that there's maybe, I don't know if he has quite the physical gifts that Easton Stick did, but I think his mastery of the offense and his kind of link with the offense, and even though now it's a new header and a new OC, Randy's still there. Like, his mastery of what they're trying to accomplish, I think, is now on par with senior Easton. That's where I think he is from a picture, post pictures. Now, does he have the, like, 9.6 relative athletic score, like physical gifts that Easton had? Maybe not. But, I mean, if you're giving me the Coke Zero version of senior, should have been Walter Payton, award-winning Easton Stick, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Shout out Coke Zero. I mean, I love Coke Zero. I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's what it is. I mean, it's funny. He's, you know, a fifth year now, like Easton was in his last year. And you look at the two guys who were drafted in the top three overall picks, started what, a combined not even 40 games.
Yeah.
And the other three have mastered the system, like you said.
Right.
Gone through it. 40
and maybe
some starts.
They don't have Trey's gifts. They don't have Carson's gifts.
No, they don't. But nonetheless.
Doesn't matter. Right. Doesn't matter. You do it either way. Cam's got a ring, right? Looking at another ring this year. I mean, I got nothing but love for that kid. The offense, I don't think, is leaving much cause for concern, especially at the FCS level. I think, obviously, they were able to get 26 against really, and I don't know how well coordinated that team is. I don't know what I think is going to happen to Colorado. I'm really interested to watch Nebraska-Colorado.
Yeah, that'll
really
be,
interested.
That'll be fun. I think some people at, I'll just put it at higher levels, know what they want out of Colorado. But yeah, I mean, it's a much improved defense from dead last year.
Yeah.
But there was, aside from that little stretch in the third quarter where Colorado had the ball for like 13 years in the third quarter.
Yes.
But yeah, there was, the O-line looked good. It really did. The receivers, I talked to Bryce Lance this week. That's a thing where I think you asked the question a while ago. A lot of the guys that are back in the receiving room are slot guys.
Yeah, 5'10", 5'11", buck 85. Yep.
Right. Now you got Bryce, Mekhi Collins, and
Terhart, who caught the Hail Mary that wasn't.
Terhart, yeah. And Chris Harris.
He got real run.
He did.
Yep.
And they're all like the same. 6'3", 205.
Big.
I mean,
rocked up.
Yeah, they've had some concrete mixers in their day.
Yep.
Like, they're taking over the Zach Mathis, Eli Green kind of production. And okay, 90 catches for 1,500 yards is hard to replicate with two guys.
Yeah.
But I think it's a start for sure.
It is. And I thought the O-line acquitted itself well. I didn't see anything crazy. I thought Griffin Empey did anything that you could have asked him to do. I kind of want to go back and like watch Fraley a little bit more. Not that I have a high level of like center expertise. But I thought the tackles played really well. I thought Mason played well, and I thought Gray was really good. And that's where, I mean, look, interior offensive line play is important too. But if your tackles are going to really play well, you're going to do big things. The young backs are exciting. I think having Barica in a situation where coach is asking for like 25 carries a game. I mean, just having, I think the question's been answered now on his health.
Yep.
He was clearly explosive, clearly looked like himself. And so now if those guys stay healthy, I'm good with that. You know, that's TK, Marty Brown, Barica. That's enough.
Yeah. They're all a little different, but they're all so explosive. I mean, that's just been the NDSU brand post, I don't know, maybe Bruce Anderson, Lance Dunn days. Maybe it was a little bit there too. Splittage, I guess, but it's, you don't really know what to expect, and it's one game of Marty Brown, and we already like him, what we're seeing.
Absolutely. Yep. No, absolutely. I think we got to have the Cole Payton conversation. I get it, right? And I see, you know, like Jackrabbit beat writers talking about it, and it doesn't matter, but I understand where people are coming from, so I'm not going to try to be like condescending, because I understand that Cam Miller was dealing, okay? I get that. However, you start, and I'm not even going to talk about like advanced analytics. I'm not going to talk about, I will talk about success rate. I won't talk about success rate as like a number, because you start getting into NFL stats, you start talking about EPA, CPOE, some of those. I can just start blabbering acronyms at you, but like success rate is a real thing that you can chart. And like, I can tell you what Jordan Love's success rate is. I could tell you what Sam Darnold's success rate is. I can tell you what Jared Goff's success rate is. Like, I can, but when I'm talking about success rate, I'm going to simplify it down to simply like really go back and look at the percentage of plays where the Bison have used Cole Payton, and not how you as a fan are taking those in your brain, but just put them on a spreadsheet. Sure. And I'm going to tell you that the Cole Payton package plays have a tremendously high success rate. And for whatever reason, when he throws a touchdown, when he runs, he's got, by the way, 17 rushing touchdowns. And he threw 3 touchdowns last year, but that's 17 ridiculous. Rushing touchdowns. Okay. When he does that, I think people are just like, oh, whatever, it's part of the offense. And when he gets stuffed, when he turns the ball over, when he makes a mistake, it's God. And a lot of these people are the same people who for years have been like, this Cam Miller guy is a bum.
Oh, God.
But you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so,
I do.
And this is what I'll tell you. This kid has a career yards per attempt over 8. Last year, his yards per attempt passing was 16 per attempt. 16, not per completion, per attempt. His career rushing average is 7.3 yards per carry. He has 17 rushing touchdowns. And if I had the time, I'd tell you how many explosives he has, but I don't. What I'm telling you is that the Cam or the Cole Payton package, Cole Payton as a player, is successful. It's successful more often than not. And wanting them to, you know, get rid of those plays, it's not in the best interest of the football. And I understand the frustration. Mm-hmm. Cam was playing awesome. There were plays for Cole Payton that didn't work. But when you go back and you look at every single time that Cole Payton has been in the game over the last 3 years, it is usually a good thing.
He's such an X factor. And it's the whole thing where if it works, you look like a genius. Or if it doesn't, you look like the biggest idiot on the planet. And when it works, like you said, 7 yards a carry, that's uncanny for a quarterback.
Yes. And look, it's the same thing, but people won't treat it that way. It's the same thing as the tailback getting stopped for a 1 yard gain on 3rd and 2. It's the same thing, but you won't get nearly the same reaction. Or 3rd and 3, big moment, receiver drops the ball. 3rd and 3, big moment, Cam just misses a throw.
Yeah,
but you won't get anywhere near the same reaction if it was a Cole Payton play. Oh, those, they're overthinking. Why is he out there? Yeah, guys.
I don't know what that's going to be. And if he's going to be the starter eventually, and let's, in the portal era, let's not look too far ahead or anything, but that mindset's going to have to change because he's going to be on the football field.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think they found the answers that we were looking for at cornerback. I think Jalen Duffy was really good. You're just going to lose some of those battles, especially for really his first kind of experience at all.
Yep.
And then I thought that Tony was great. I mean, they didn't give up much. The problem was in the middle of the field, and I think they still have some questions to answer at safety. In fact, I would say that, like, that – in addition to whatever linebacker you're sort of Tampa dropping, if you're going to play that coverage, middle of the field pass defense is to me the biggest question on the entire team.
Yeah, you saw a couple times, you know, in that Tampa look that, you know, Luke Wirtz got kind of beat over the middle. The safeties are a question, and that was acknowledged yesterday at about 1:30. It was. It's being open. Personnels are being open to change.
Yeah.
But like you said, the corners just. Jalen Duffy's not going to have to guard Travis Hunter the rest of the year.
Right. So true.
Tony's not going to have to guard Jimmy Horn. Or,
yep.
I don't know. I know
what you mean.
But.
And I'll say this, too. You can't draw it up this way. If you drew it up this way, you would have Luke Wirtz moving forward towards the quarterback, and you would have Nick Kubitz Tampa dropping. If you could design it in a lab when, you know, those two are getting splitting mic reps,
mm-hmm.
Kubitz is your coverage player. Wirtz is your rundown guy. But if they're going to throw the ball with Wirtz on the field, he has to do what the play call says. He can't. You know what I mean? So against a team that has true drop back pass, Wirtz is going to have to drop. And it just sometimes that doesn't go great. Darius Givens blew some coverages in his real first action.
Yep.
You know, we've talked about Sam Young in the past. And, I mean, Ryan Jones is still very much a ball of clay. So we'll see what happens. But that, to me, I think Devin Kleiman has one of the more important jobs right now on the whole staff.
It's, yeah, it's going to be tough. And that's such a big, and I don't want to be the guy to be like, oh, well, if Cole, oh, well, if Wiz, if like, we're not playing the ifs and buts game anymore. We're, NDSU is not about that. And guys are going to have to figure it out. And for a first year position coach, he'll have his hands full.
I thought it was interesting too, and I maybe want a clarification, but it does seem like maybe hope is dead with Cole Wisniewski. He flat out said in the press conference he's not coming back.
Yeah, I heard that live and I'm like, okay. And I had to listen to it a few times, and that's kind of what it sounded like.
I mean, it sounded pretty definite, and I think he was maybe more potentially referring to like Superman's not walking through that door.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, instead of looking at this in 8 weeks, we are just shutting him down. I feel like he would have said that as opposed to just blurting it out. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I don't know what he meant. And it doesn't maybe even matter, but I wonder if that wasn't sort of even just a slip. And he does know that it's probably not happening.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Secondary was a concern last year too, if we remember, and you got Marcus Shepherd in there, and he's another one we could talk about, but
yeah, and Marcus Shepherd struggled last year, obviously struggled in this game, but you could say the same thing, and I don't mind actually kind of sticking him in the nickel, because it he's a smaller dude who I don't think can run super well for like a boundary corner. Maybe he can be Jordan Champion.
That'd be cool.
That'd be a great fit, I think. And so maybe if they want to use Duffy and Jakees Alexander, who we didn't see a ton of, but if they want to use Duffy and Jakees Alexander and Tony outside, maybe Marcus Shepherd is a special teams guy and a nickel.
Might have to be.
I don't know. Maybe Marcus Shepherd's a free safety. Holler at your boy.
He could. And I wouldn't be opposed to some Najee Nelson action either, but...
He looked like he was in street clothes at the Colorado game. I don't know if he's nicked up or if he just didn't make the travel roster, but I thought I saw him in street clothes on the TV.
Okay. I did not notice that, but I have not heard.
Sure.
Either. He didn't mention it is what I should say.
Fair enough. Okay. Tough not to be extremely proud of that effort, and I think just optimistic going forward. And I don't think you need to draw like huge reactions, but I think you're going to look at South Dakota State as your primary roadblock to a national championship, and they did not look the same against Oklahoma State. And I get that Oklahoma State's probably a better football team than Colorado. I do understand that. But Oklahoma State could have done real nasty things. I mean, they kind of still did. They blew out South Dakota State, easily covered, but there were a couple of just like coverage busts from Okie State. That could have been like in the 41-14 realm, that game. And I thought it was odd coming into the season that everyone just assumed you could lose all those players, but Mark Gronowski is going to make you the number one team in the country. And look, maybe they win the title again. I don't know. But they're not what they were.
No, I mean, they're not one of the best, and it pains me to say it a little bit, but they're not one of the best FCS teams of all time anymore. And with they had two touch. I didn't watch a lot of the game, but they had two long, quick touchdown drives. Great.
Oh, fast, like three plays and two plays maybe. And the one Griffin Wilde touchdown was long. He's good. He is a good player.
He is. But they lost the Yankees outside. They lost Hines. They lost Davis. They lost three extremely good offensive linemen. If he's not getting blocked for, who knows what you're...
Yeah, and there's plenty of really good players on defense too that are gone and have been replaced by whomever. Graham Spaulding. Graham Spaulding is the type of name that's just like the most annoying kid at your country club. He got nicked up in that game. And they kept saying his name, and I was like,
I was shaking your head like,
Graham Spaulding is the kid that spends his daddy's money in the pro shop. And like, I just, anyway, that's a golf thing. But at any rate, let's move on to the Tennessee State preview. Draylen Ellis, big passing numbers. Tim's really engaging at those press conferences.
He's very engaged, and he broke that down really well. If you go on our little breakdown of it, we have it kind of what he said. You can check out the video replay. But kind of like they are somebody asked a question that they're pass heavy. He's like, well, it's not the same though.
Right.
Because they are, Colorado is 1-2-3 hitch, throw, hit to the second level. Tennessee State is much more RPO, slants, your stick routes, quick out of the hand.
Yes. Yeah. Three. I mean, Colorado had a ton of three-step, five-step. No, those are the, I'm talking more about the concepts, because three-step, five-step is traditional footwork from under center, and Colorado almost never did under center. But their concepts are three- and five-step drop concepts. And then if it's not there, Shadur, create, pause, move around, whatever.
Yep.
That is not what is going on at Tennessee State at all. Not what Draylen Ellis had success with. I want to give a quick shout out, as Coach P did, to Seth Hessness. Seth had followed Tyler Roll down to Tennessee State. And then, you know, Tyler obviously takes the
Iowa State
job. And then I think even that job might have been sort of a backwards way for Dylan Chimura to get down to Tennessee mm-hmm. State. Dylan Chimura, a guy that we had mentioned as a possible take a look and see NDSU staffer when, you know, we completely whiffed on the NDSU OC, but I don't think anybody, to be fair, saw that coming.
Yeah, he was the was he an assistant still with Tim at Iowa? And then he went somewhere, and then he was at Bemidji.
Right, yeah. Yep. And I just he and his dad Mark played is a Packers Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion.
Sure.
Tim's a Wisconsin guy. Mark Chimura played with Brett Favre, like that era of the Packers.
Okay.
So Dylan Chimura is Mark Chimura's son. I'm 95% sure they had worked together, I think, also at Northern Illinois and then eventually at Iowa. But yeah, Dylan Chimura would have been kind of that offensive upper Midwest tight ends, offensive line, like mindset, sort of like a young Connor Riley, if you will. And that kind of background. But obviously Dylan with the Wisconsin ties and Riles with the Omaha ties. So different sort of regions, but very much kind of line of scrimmage, offensive football, upper Midwest upbringing, football lifer kind of mentality. And Tim mentioned both of those guys. Yep. Eddie George. Kind of crazy, I guess, just in general, that Tim Polisek's coaching career starts against Deion Sanders and Eddie George. Like, just heavy Madden 97 vibes. And, like, Eddie obviously was on the cover of Madden, one of my favorite Maddens of all time. I think that Madden might have been one of the first ones with, like, the minicamp drills, which they brought back. Shout out to Madden. But, yeah, like, as much as we love, you know, Bo Pelini and John Stiglmeyer and Bubba Schweigert, it's a little bit different when the guy across the field is freaking Deion Sanders or Eddie George.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row, and you're like, oh my God.
This is a Hall of Famer.
I grew up watching that dude.
Yeah, like, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's got to be really cool. I mean, he mentioned that right away.
You're like 5 years old when Eddie George played football. I'm not even going to listen to this right now.
No, I'm talking Tim.
Okay.
The only way I knew Eddie George before I was 10 years old is because he was a Heisman winner at Ohio State.
Okay.
But Tim seemed very excited. Polisek seemed very excited to meet him, and it's cool. It really is.
No,
cool.
It is. It is. Eddie George is like if Tim Polisek could create a running back in a lab, is how Eddie George played football.
Oh my God. Just a brute.
Oh yeah. Just a face mask bender. Absolutely. look, they beat a real bad team in week one. Mississippi Valley State is all love to them, but they are historically bad. It just is what it is. They are chronically one of the worst teams in Division I.
Yeah, I don't remember what year exactly, but the Bison beat Easton Sick era like 70-7.
Yeah, it was the game that Raiden's blew out his knee, and they were up by a billion.
Well, that was
because they had redshirted Raiden's, and then everybody was super excited because this was turned down Mizzou, big time recruit, left tackle mm-hmm. of the future. And he comes in after redshirting in a 70-7 game and blows out his knee.
That's
anyway.
That's brutal. But yeah, there not a whole lot to take into that game, but there are some bright spots. The LS kid was at Austin Peay before.
Yeah, heavy transfers, which I think you're going to see, obviously, just in this era. And then I think that's a little bit of just like leveraging Eddie George, too. If you're Tennessee State and you're in that name, like you get a call, even at, look, a lot of these kids haven't played Madden 2003, but I mean, still, I think if you get a phone call from Eddie George, is it the same thing as getting a phone call from Deion Sanders? Maybe not, but you get a phone call from Eddie George, it means something.
It does.
And all due respect, but I mean, it's different than like Jimmy Rogers calls you or Bubba Schweigert calls you. And look, I think obviously both UND and South Dakota State are at a higher level than Tennessee State, but I'm just talking about like the sway that just the coach period would have. Eddie George has a lot of credibility. Jordan Gant is a decent back. I'm not tremendously impressed with the offensive line. Defensively, they've been pretty good. Top three in their conference and total defense the last 2 years. But what I'll say before we kind of try to wrap things up here is there's just levels to this, and the OVC is not on the level.
No.
It hasn't been. It's not on the Valley, and it's not on the Big Sky level, and the real level is the Valley level. But the OVC, especially after some real, I think, sort of significant FBS leavers or conference leavers, it's not the same. So if you're a top three defense in the OVC, what do I actually think of you as a defense when you're lining up against a Dakota State?
Yeah, they lost like two of their top defenders, conference defensive player of the year. Don't remember his name, but big, I think he was a D-line, big sack guy. And yeah, it's the Valley and the Big Sky. Like you said, that's the standard. And the Valley is.
And they just gave up 21 to Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's not a great look. Although maybe they have a lot back. But yeah, they couldn't even have.
And it. I didn't have a chance to, the film where I get film was not available. You can figure that out for yourself, yeah. But if you're at home, but, I wasn't paying attention to game flow. So they could have been, I think it was 41-21, something in that realm, 44-20. I mean, maybe it was 44-7 and it was the third stringers that gave up the last two touchdowns. I don't know. But ultimately it's just hard to take anything from a win about Mississippi Valley State. We don't have a line right now. I'm going to just barrel right into my prediction. I think this is a showcase game. I think it's a game where they're probably trying to make a pretty strong impression for Coach P. It's probably a pissed off team. I think they really wanted to beat Colorado in front of 5 million people. And I think there could be bloodbath vibes here. I've got 44-10 Bison.
I was thinking the same kind of area. You know, they're a team that was picked fourth in the Big South OVC. But again, I think along the same lines that you had, I think it's going to be not close. 49-10.
All right. Want to thank Blake, the intern, for his time. Want to thank Bison 1660 for bringing your boy back. I want to thank all of you for listening. Have a great weekend, guys. And go Bison.